Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Come on, put your hands together. Thank God for His goodness. Wow. We go right into the Word of God, going to Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. You know, we're talking about fasting, and actually this particular story here is going to launch us into a whole new dimension of how we think about fasting and what it's for, what can be accomplished, what things God has in mind. And you'll find the responding verses on the screen behind me, and we'll just go right into this. We're going to begin at verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and the scribes disputing with them. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, becomes rigid. "So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Then he brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And often it has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" Read this last verse together. And he said to them, "This kind came out by nothing and fasting." Let's pray. Father, today we have an opportunity to learn some things not only about your word, but about ourselves. Because, Lord, it seems like it's a pretty straightforward story that there was a presence of the devil, and the only remedy was to be able to fast and to pray, and hopefully we could get rid of this particular thing. But, Lord, today open our eyes to hear what your word is saying. Open our hearts to receive from you a dimension not only of fasting and praying that will bring us into a new relationship with you that will surpass anything we've experienced before. Holy Spirit, be the teacher today. Dispel all darkness and let the power of the Holy Spirit just permeate this audience, permeate our hearts, that we will leave here totally rejoicing in the fact of knowing that we have the power to be released from bondage that we've suffered for a long time. We ask all these things in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, you may be seated. I've entitled this message, maybe it may last for a couple of weeks, I'm not really sure at this point, but it's called Fasting Forward. Remember that little thing you had on your cassette player? It's called Fast Forward. When you want to get to a part that, you know, that was there, it wasn't like disc, you can just kind of hit a little button and go to the next. Oh, no, 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 no. Fasting Forward. But I want to take it from this dimension. There are seemingly innumerable discussions and ideas that center around fasting that includes the when, the why, the how, and the desired outcome of the same, which really means this. In some cases, fasting can become a means by which people feel it is the last resort available that can possibly get God's attention to address the most dire needs in circumstances far beyond man's control or ability. Jesus desires us to make fasting a part of our spiritual discipline that will open our hearts to the power of the Holy Spirit released through his name. I want to change your perspective, hopefully, from the standpoint that, you know, it's a ritual that we do once a year at New Song, or maybe a couple of times a year, people get together, a group of people, we're going to fast, we're going to pray, we're going to defeat the devil. And you know what happens? Unfortunately, we can become disillusioned because we think it's the magic pill or the magic bullet that'll take away all those different things. We sometimes get ourselves under a philosophy or an idea that somehow that this is the only option that we have. And what Jesus says here is sometimes misunderstood, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But here's my three questions for the day. First of all, have you allowed fasting to become an exercise in discipline rather than the empowerment of your faith? Some of us fast because it's the first of the year, and we don't like the pounds we put on at Christmas. Oh, come on. Too much fudge. Too much cake, too much celebration, and we want to be experienced. Oh, I'm just going to fast and trust the Lord. No, honey, you are tired. You can't cut. You get that top button fastened. So this is a way to do it. But let's go beyond that to the realm of what's really at stake. Number two, does your perspective on fasting rest upon it being your desperation fueled by circumstances that seem to be impossible? We're going to get into the heart of the story, but the real idea is that I guess fasting is that last chance effort for things that we have deemed as impossible. Maybe it's that particular diagnosis you got from the doctor that says this is an incurable disease. Perhaps it's cancer. Perhaps it's some other particular thing. He says, if I fast and pray, maybe that will break down the door. How about this, number three? Can you envision your fasting taking on a greater effect when accompanied by prayer? Sometimes we can get ourselves to a place where we're fasting. The only thing we can think about is fasting. It's, can I make it through break? Can I make it, you know, to this particular thing so I can have my carrot sticks and broth? Oh, you know how we work it out. Some of you don't like broccoli, but right now broccoli's gonna be your friend. Let me get into this because it's going to get out of control. Discovering the need of fasting. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I want to just use that as a background, as a foundation for what fasting really is all about. It's when we allow our heart to be engaged with our spirit to a degree where, and somehow in a tangible situation with food, which is one of the basic elements of life. But we take the idea of the food thing out of the picture and say, you know what? I want my heart in place of my food that I'm willing to give that totally over to God and allow him to make the necessary changes. Well, ever been heart sick? Say yes. The girl that turned you down. The guy wasn't paying attention to you. I don't know what I'm going to do to get their attention. And somehow you were obsessed with that particular idea, and I don't care what you did, they didn't care. I mean, you know, Tassie May, she went on with her life. She didn't know you were alive. You know, and Boozer, whatever his name was the guy on the football team everybody wanted to have. Oh, he just looked my way. I waved my pom-poms higher. Whatever. And you get heart sick over those type of things because all you want them to do is notice you, and they don't. Let me help you with this. Fasting is the total engagement of our spirit in pursuit of Jesus. Our spirit in pursuit of Jesus, not of something. What does that look like? It looks like this. The disciples and the scribes, let's get back into the story. We're in a dispute, and each one over the boy who really needed healing, you know. And I wasn't part of the conversation, but one group is saying this, and one group is saying that, and they're just kind of going back and forth. Meanwhile, the kid's still suffering. Sometimes we can get our focus on the wrong thing. We're focused on the methodology, and meanwhile, people are suffering. Well, the controversy over this centered around the inability of Jesus' disciples to heal the boy that was demonized. Now, I did a little research in Scripture, and I don't remember when Jesus would deputize them to go casting out demons. He said, well, yeah, he did. But somehow the word got out, and the man who had taken this child to the disciples, his expectation was, you should be able to handle the devil. May I take it to you right now? The world is saying to you as a believer, you should be able to deal with the devil. Amen. And I want to tell you right now, you will not be accomplished by fasting. You say, what? Then why are we going to fast? Why are we going to starve ourselves to death? I'm going to leave that to the last part. I'm going to let you just kind of marinate on that for a moment. But there was a lack of understanding as to what was necessary in order for healing and deliverance to take place. But first of all, they said, well, take them to your disciples. And certainly the Superman, you know, aspect of them, they've been hanging around you. The Spirit of God had to rub off on them. I tell you what, the power of God does not come by osmosis. Somebody say, oh, I'm going to come to the Wednesday night prayer meeting and maybe it'll catch. What virus are you after? I mean, we got some strange ideas about the Spirit of God. And hopefully I can just kind of get some of those things out of the way. The world has expectations of those who claim to be followers of Jesus. Say amen. Amen. Because they expect you to be different. If you're saying, well, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. They expect that same permeation or the same residence of Jesus to be upon you as a believer. So what does that mean? That Jesus made a declaration that those who believe in him should be able to do supernatural works. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more later. But there's an expectation on the disciples of Jesus. And here it is, right here in the Bible, that there's this kid that is suffering immeasurably. And they said, he says, you know what? I took him to your disciples, and nothing happened. I am not here to bring blame or shame on anybody in this room. If you feel that, it's from the devil. I want to raise your awareness on the privilege that God has made available to you that you have not been able to exercise. And I'm going to show you how to accomplish that. Well, what does that mean? That the people in Jesus' day thought his disciples had powers equivalent to his. They say, well, I took him to your disciples. I mean, you know, you've cast out devils before and they've watched you do it. So why doesn't it happen? Well, here's the next part of it. We must embrace the sense of urgency to be prepared to combat the works of the devil. Somebody say amen. It's all, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. And we just pretty much resolve, that's how it is. Oh, it's getting worse and worse and worse. They're taking over everything. The drugs are taking over. They're running the streets and they're killing folks and they're shooting people. And we feel like there's nothing we can do about it. Oh, really? There's a part of the Bible that says that you have authority. There's a part of the Bible that says that you can cast out that spirit. And I'm not just saying this because, well, I'll hold that till later, but I'll tell you, I really believe this stuff. And God has had to work in my heart the idea of don't preach something you don't believe. Amen. It's easy to say, then walk with him, and I hope it works for you. God bless you. See you next week. Oh, no. Well, we must embrace the sense of urgency. The need of deliverance is immediate. I don't want anybody to raise their hand at this particular point, but I want to propose this to you. Did you walk through those doors coming into this service today with an immediate need in your life that you desire Jesus to take care of today? Do not raise your hand. You say, I want to raise my hand because I want it done. Just wait a minute. It'll mean absolutely nothing if we don't change the way we look at the power of Jesus and what can happen in this place. So look at this. There was no time to go away and to fast for 40 days. Now I know a few people that have fasted 21 days. I tried it for 11 and I knew I was dying. I know next of death is around the corner. You know, I was anemic, I was dizzy, I was crazy. But I had myself convinced, if I could just make it one more day, I'm going to be super. When I come out of this, I'll be able to, you know, talk to anything. Demons will just fly off people. Really? The only thing you will get from fasting without the burly belief in Jesus is you will get hungry. Some of you will get mean. Some of you, when you miss a meal or two, you are not fun to be around. And God bless you folks that are addicted to coffee. The first day without coffee, we might as well put you in a straitjacket. Because you believe you're dying. You're hyperventilating and so I'm just sweating. What's wrong? I haven't had my coffee today. You don't understand. Don't talk to me right now. Some of you will be delivered from spirits when you put that down. But here's the deal. It appeared the enemy had the upper hand. Let me look at some of you if I'm looking out here. Right now in your life, you would say to me, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you. The enemy has the upper hand in this situation in my life. Do not take that as an indictment. It's a reality that you're experiencing right now. And you're just kind of tolerating going from day to day, hoping that someday it's going to be different. I got news for somebody here today. Today is your day. You are not going to leave here the same person. You say, how can you say that? Because I believe Jesus can take care of your situation. You say, what? Well, the intensity of the problem or the need should not be an issue with believers. Now, as disciples of Jesus, we're not subject to the engage in wars with the enemy who may have held someone captive for a long time. See, that's one of the things that I believe is intimidating to me and to anyone else who's a believer. Well, that's the way they've been for them. I can't imagine them being any different. And we can get used to the addictive process of the enemy, and that becomes our normal. Ever found a person that, you know, that becomes their normal? That's just the way we do things. You know, it's a simple little thing that, you know, I guess I've used this illustration before. Some of you haven't heard it. This lady, she's making a meatloaf. And she puts it, she rolls it all out in this type of thing. And before she puts it in the pan, she looks at the pan, she looks at the meatloaf, she cuts off this piece, she throws away, she puts the rest of it in the pan. And she says, and so finally her daughter-in-law, who was watching, says, why did you throw the rest of the meatloaf away? Well, because it won't fit in the pan. Did you ever think of getting a bigger pan? You've been throwing away meatloaf all your life because you need a bigger pan. You need a wider spectrum of what God can do, but a lot of your life has been wasted because you don't have the capacity to accommodate what God wants to do in your life. I want to expand your horizon. I want to expand your faith today to believe the things you thought were impossible. And it's going to be some work with some of y'all. The rest of you, I think, I've got hope for. Well, we should not be intimidated by the enemy when he demonstrates his power in front of us. I don't know what story to pull from. It really doesn't matter. Well, it was over on Holiday Street. This would be 1988, 89. A young lady, they brought her into my office, and there was a couple of the elders, pastors there. And this girl probably weighed 95 pounds. And they said, well, she's demon-possessed. And I said, she's demon-possessed? I mean, what difference does that make? Let me tell you what happened. They kind of bring in the door. She looks like she's kind of in a daze. All of a sudden, the spirit that was in her hit her, and that woman threw around 4 grown men that were twice her size, like they were nothing. She levitated off the floor this high, and she screamed to the top of her voice, you don't have the power to cast me out. I remember our youth pastor at that point was under my desk. Some of y'all remember JT? I'm telling this story now. He was under my desk, scared to death. And then as we were proceeding to try to deal with the situation, all of a sudden this girl falls on the floor and she starts crawling like a snake. I know you would hit for the exit too. But you don't, when you're supposed to be the guy, you don't have that option. You think, oh, Jesus. Oh, bless his great name. But let me get you fast forward to the very end of this whole situation. All of a sudden, she's lying calmly on the floor, and then the girl's mouth opens. It's not her talking, but a voice comes out of her and says, you don't have the power to cast me out. I've been here too long. Oh, okay. But you know what? The Holy Spirit came in, and there's a words that I know that are powerful. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you got to come. I know you can't make me. Oh, yes. Somebody got to leave. It's not going to be me. I want you to know that that woman left that place de-demonized, totally in her right mind. I saw her probably about 6 or 7 years ago. That was some 20 years ago. She's still free. Amen. My point in this is I want to get you to that particular place, and I've got only got 17 minutes left to do it. Oh, Lord have mercy. For you'll believe that God has the power to do this. Well, we will make a forceful attempt to make us feel as though we are powerless against him. And I want to tell you, there was something within me that says, oh, no, you don't. There's something within me that rose up and says, greater is he that's in me than he that is in that woman right now. And something said, do you know, there's something about there's power in the name of Jesus, and God can do it. Let me take you to another aspect of it. When the enemy is confronted by the power of Jesus, he will try to intimidate it with his power. This is Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 18. This is an interesting story. I'll just get a little snippet of it. Now it happened as we went to prayer, a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit for fortune telling. I said, what's wrong with that? Anyway, this girl followed Paul and cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Now hold it right there. Do you realize that people who are demon-possessed can also proclaim things about Jesus? You say, what? Because the devil knows a lot more about Jesus sometimes than you do. And he says, up to no good, but let's get on to the story. And she did this for many days. But Paul got fed up. He says, I don't need an announcement from the devil. I don't need someone to pave the way from the devil. So watch what happens here. And so he was greatly annoyed. He turned to her and said, to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her. And he came out that very hour. I'll tell you, I don't have the time to go into the rest of the story, but I'll tell you what, people were not happy because the spirit came out. Because all of a sudden their source of money was gone. Some of us are conveniently controlled by the devil because we made a deal with the devil. Don't look at me funny. You leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. You let me do this, I'll let you do that. You say, is that possible? Listen on, theologically, I'll help you with that in a moment. The devil will try to scare us with his manifested presence. He will try to use the fact that how long he has been permitted to have access to a situation as a license to continue the stronghold. Some of you sitting in this room right now have been under the stronghold of the devil, and that's the only way you can imagine yourself being. Now, stronghold, demon possession, are they the same thing? No. But they might as well be. Because you will never accomplish the purpose that God has for you when you allow the stronghold of the devil to be prevalent in your life. It's so easy to talk about addictions to drugs, addictions to sex, and addiction, because those things you can pretty much tell. But what about the addiction to the fact of not praying? Not fasting? Not speaking out the word of God? Some of you, it would scare you. You'd be frightened. I actually witnessed to that person. I can't believe that actually came out of my mouth. Do you know every addiction that you have isn't necessarily something that people would be shunned about? But see, you are under the auspices and you are being corralled by the devil who will keep you from speaking up and sharing the word of God. It's just as bad as if you had a demon that made you go out and do drugs. Because the devil's got a hold of you. Well, let me go on a little further. He will make a forceful attempt to make us feel that we are powerless against him. Now, note what happens here. Jesus has a dialogue with them, and he says, "Oh, faithless generation," etc., etc. He says, "Bring the boy to me." And immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. What? Jesus is here. Do you know, the devil doesn't care who's here. He's going to do his thing. Wow. Let me go into the next part of this message. It says, if you can believe all things are possible, Mark chapter 9, verse 23. He said, if you can believe all things are possible to him who believes. And this is where we're going to start unpacking this whole philosophical approach. Believing in Jesus and his word are the key components that must be pursued through fasting and prayer. I want to tell you, I'm going to place upon you something that I believe that will change your spiritual life forever. That's a big thing to say. I want to tell you why I believe that when Jesus said, this kind only comes out through fasting and prayer, he was not talking about, if you fast and pray, you'll have more power against the devil and to cast him out. That's not what he's saying. He said, what? I thought if we fast and pray, we look real pale and wan and weak and this type of thing, that we'll get the power to deal with demons. That's not what he's saying. It's a preparation when we're fasting and praying. He said, well, then maybe that's, we fast and pray to improve our faith toward God. I'll tell you why he's not just toward faith toward God. The scriptures that follow this, he says, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be cast from the sea, and it's going to happen. So if you're fasting and praying that your faith may be increased, that's not it either. Then what is it? We are fasting and praying so we can believe what we think we believe. It's to remove the doubt that's within us, because of the next few verses just spell it out pretty clearly for you. It says, do not fast in order to have more faith. Our fasting is done to remove the elements of doubt that keep us from believing what Jesus desires to perform through our lives. It's hard. Because some of us, we have degrees. Well, we can believe God to cure a cold. But cancer is off the charts. Or an addiction is off the charts. Let me make this statement to you, and I'm not being anti-theological. It is possible to believe and still have unbelief. How many believe that's true? Some of you don't, oh no. Either you believe or you don't, mm-mm. Well, I got to give you some examples because some of y'all are hard-headed. Watch this. You can believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but not put your total confidence in the finished works of the cross as it concerns your life. He's the Son of God. But what about your sins? Oh, Jesus couldn't possibly forgive me all these different things. I can believe he's the Son of God, but you know, after all I've done, there's no way he could possibly forgive me. You believe, but you have unbelief. Because if you have the real belief as you should in Jesus, you'd walk in the confidence that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Part of you believes, the other part of you doesn't. But my goal is when you leave here today, you'll have a total 100% belief in Jesus. But it may not happen. But I'll tell you what, fasting will bring you into that awareness. How about another one? We can believe that Jesus can heal sickness in others, but not in ourselves. Oh, he can heal her, but he can't heal. Oh, you just don't know how long I had this. Oh, you're owning it? It's yours? Oh, yes, my legs, my back, my hip, my eyes, anything. Oh, yeah. What about number 3? We can believe that Jesus died for our sins, but still carry the burden of the sins of our past. And I guarantee you, there's a high percentage of you sitting in this room right now that are living under condemnation. Because before you can really, well, I'm going to get involved in ministry, but the life that I lived before, I'm just so unworthy to that. That's what the devil told you, and that's what you believe. But I want to deliver you from the doubt, from the confusion of the devil, that when Jesus has cleansed you, you are 100% clean, and there's nothing that he can hold against you any longer. Let me get to this aspect. If you can believe all things are possible, there are natural hindrances to our ability to believe. I believe there's three. Number one, major hindrance to our belief is ignorance. Grandma used to say, like, y'all is ignorant. She didn't do ignorance. So all you ignorant folk out there. Because you don't know. He said, really? No one's ever told you this before, that Jesus Christ can do these things. And so how can you believe something if you never knew it? Well, I'm here to declare to you today that these things are true. Let me get to the second one, which is probably easily much said. We will not experience the works of Jesus because of unbelief. Let me define for you unbelief. The lack of experience or exposure to the supernatural works of Christ. Some of you have never seen a miracle in your life. Matter of fact, how many of you have never seen a miracle before? I mean, just raise your hand. It's okay. Nobody's going to throw you out of the church. Well, there's a few of you that haven't. How many of you have seen a miracle before? How many of you believe that Jesus can work a miracle in your life today? Oh, I'm losing people. Jesus, help me. But this is the one that will really get us. The most toxic element that we must overcome is disbelief. Let me tell you about disbelief. The most refusal to believe when we trust in our own wisdom and instinct instead of the power of God. Oh, that couldn't possibly happen. Oh, I don't think it's anything. Like, for instance, I could call some up here and we're going to believe the Lord to cure this lady's cancer. And one of you out there would say, that's not going to happen. I've never seen that happen before. There's no scientists, you know, she's stage four. You know, and some of you are of a medical background, oh, it's not going to happen. I don't know why they're even wasting their prayers. What? All of us have unbelief in some area of our life. Unbelief is often tied to our imaginations. We can't imagine ever being free. This is all I've known. This is the way I am. Everyone in my family is this way. This is our DNA. This is our inheritance. Really? What about this? Unbelief relies on our experiences to validate what we think we can believe or not believe. Because of your experience. But let me add a word in here. Because of your disappointment, you don't believe. Because it didn't happen in the time frame you thought it should happen, forget about it. Unbelief is a product of accepting the achievements of man over the sovereignty of God. How about this? Some of you believe that technology is the enemy of our faith. I don't know why you would believe that. But even if we choose to rely on technology over the faith in Jesus, it is not a challenge to the power of God. Which means this. Driverless cars are in no competition with the power of God. Why would you bring that up? Driverless cars. So some of us put more trust in a driverless car than we will in the power of God. Well, I think I can just press the button and everything will be just fine. I'm not there yet. Do what you want, baby. I ain't riding with you. But what about this? Jesus has always been able to communicate wirelessly with his people without the technology of Bluetooth and Alexa. He doesn't need Alexa to get through to you. He doesn't need wireless technology. All he needs is an open line of the Holy Spirit of someone who would choose to believe the word of God in their circumstances, and deliverance will come. Is that amazing or what? Well, let me just kind of sew this up in this last few moments. Prayer and fasting is the only way to operate in the realm of the Spirit. Matthew chapter 17, verse 21. Let's get to that. Matthew 17. Do you have that one? It was on our rotation. I promise it was. Well, let's see here. I just happen to have another copy. It appeared. Oh, praise God. However, this kind does not go out except through by prayer and fasting. So, wait a minute. They said that in. I repeat that for this reason. The kind of what he's talking about, the kind that does not go out. This kind of belief system is reinforced by prayer and fasting, to the point where you believe and you don't doubt his ability to do that which you haven't seen before. Well, Jesus is not referring to faith in order to deliver the demon-possessed man. If we have the faith of a mustard seed, that can happen. Our issue with performing things of the Spirit rests upon our ability to believe. Or what about this? There's a level of belief in Jesus that can only be achieved through fasting and prayer to remove ignorance, unbelief, and disbelief. I want to tell you, in these next few weeks, over the 2 weeks we'll be fasting, that's the target. The target is not a new car. The target is not a new job. The target is not a husband. I'm just trying to help you. Because some of you folks are just, oh, this is time to fast. I'll just fast and God will give you. Seriously? The target is to remove unbelief from your life. To totally 100% trust in Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen? Can I get a buy-in on that? Raise your hand if you think you need some unbelief moved out of your life. Raise your hand. That's what we're going to target on. And it'll be amazing because all of a sudden it's like, I believe God can do that. And it won't be just you repeating it. It'll be an affirmation in your spirit. A couple other things that go right along with this is we must choose to operate with signs and wonders following the believer. Mark chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, and I'm done. I believe we want to start at 16. Or did they start at 18? I'll make it work. Anyway, well, it says before that, I got to repeat, it says, and these signs shall follow those who believe. And in my name they will cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues, he says. And they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So after that he has spoken, they received him into the cloud. You know, I got to get that. I got to read out of the Bible here because I don't want you to miss this. Because this is what Jesus said. Is it there now? Ah. He believes on me is baptized, shall be saved. Yeah, and then verse 17 is the one. And here we go. And these signs will follow those who believe. Stop right there. How many of you believe? Okay. These are signs or evidence you believe. How about that? Can you agree with that? So, the sign that says, in my name they will cast out demons. I get the new tongue thing. I'm not really going to measure on that. I just want to get to the hard part. They will cast out demons. I want you to read that. It says, he didn't say they will wrestle out demons. They will cast out demons. I can't remember what country I was in. It doesn't really matter. A fellow came up to me, and he had a knife. Matter of fact, I'll make it a little more. This is back in the days, about 40 years ago, House of Rainbows, this type of thing. Guy came, he had a gun. You can more relate to that. And he's holding other people hostage in a house over on the corner of 13th and Skidmore. This can be valid. Roberta's here. She knows the story. His name was Glenn. And he had everybody in that house. He says, I'm going to kill them, all of them. I walked in the door. He's got the gun. He's got the gun on his folks. I said, in the name of Jesus, this isn't going to happen. Walked up to him, took the gun over, and knocked him to the floor. I said, oh, no, not today. Because the power of Jesus can take over that situation. But you know what? You got to believe it, because otherwise you're going to be one dead person. I said, what made you so bold right there? It wasn't me. Well, something the greater that was within me was greater than it was in that gun. Are you ready? Because Jesus wants to do some amazing things in your life today. I'll close this out. He says, signs will follow believers. We will truly believe when we operate in the power of the Spirit. Doubt can only be take over when we choose to operate in the influence of what appeals to our flesh and our own understanding. The authority and power of the believer will be released through fasting and prayer. So here's this. We choose to focus on Jesus and his finished works of the cross. We believe the power of the enemy is under subjection to his name. And fasting will put our focus on the word and the authority of God that the believer has. Everybody stand to your feet right now. Everybody, everybody, everybody. I want you to close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. I'm going to speak to some people today that somehow the Holy Spirit has gotten through to you. It's interesting, while your eyes are closed, I was kind of searching around on the pulpit, and I couldn't find what I was looking for. And I said, I know I have some of this stuff here. I said, well, if I don't get this, I guess I won't do what God wants me to do. Isn't that interesting? But before the service started, Pastor Chuck walked up to me and gave me this bottle of anointing oil. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask people to respond, and the other people of the ministry team will be here to help me, just to pray for you. But I want to ask you a question. Do you have a situation in your life? And notice I say situation. I didn't qualify what it is. Could be healing, could be a particular addiction, could be whatever it is, that you believe by the power of Jesus that you can be delivered from. If you don't believe, maybe it'll take a few weeks of fasting and prayer for you to get to that place, but I believe there are people in this room today that came here with a desire to be set free. Some who've come to get saved, who put their trust in Jesus. Matter of fact, while heads are Bibles and eyes are closed, I want to ask that question. If you're here in this room today and you have not turned your life over to Jesus, I have one question to ask you. Are you willing to do it today? If that's you, lift your hand right now. Lift it up where I can see it. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else wants to do that. Lift up high where I can see it. Because you're the first people I'm going to pray for. And then after that, some other folks. Or you can put your hands down. As the worship team just begins to minister, here's the second thing. There are people here that you've had an addiction or you've had an issue in your life for a long period of time. It could be addiction. It could be an illness. But you're saying, you know what? I'm believing today that God is going to touch me and heal me today. If that's you, lift your hand right now. Lift it out if I can see it, because I'm going to invite you to come down here. I'm going to lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, with some of the other pastors that are here, and God is going to take care of that situation. Put your hands down. I want my other ministry team people to stand with me behind these folks as they come. But today is your day. Today is your day. Lord, I pray. Not only would faith come alive, but unbelief would be dispelled. I pray over the darkness of unbelief that has kept people and held them hostage for so long. that would dissipate for some even today. But as they seek you through fasting and prayer, that their belief in the name of Jesus and the power and authority of his word would permeate the darkness of misunderstanding and cause them to stand firm in you. Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.